Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. Well, first of all, I need to kick off this podcast with a huge thanks to Phil. Phil off of emails, Phil Turnell, who heard my plea for a needle-type torque wrench for setting up my cam belt. And he said, oh, I've got one of them in the shed, you can have it. So he sent it to me.
Fantastic.
What an absolute legend in return for some beers at LRM Live. So I think that's a fair deal.
Oh, do you think that's a fair deal?
So I'll be cracking on with my 200 TDI's cam belt later part of this week, hopefully.
Yeah, I was just wondering what I could trade with you for beer at LRM Live.
You're already indebted to me, beers anyway, for the amount of stuff we've done to your 90, so.
Okay.
You better not be racking up any more of a tab, Steve. That's all I'll say. But no, thank you ever so much, Steve. That's really, Phil, sorry. That's ever so nice of you. And yeah, that'll be really, really helpful. He says he really enjoys listening to the podcast. Reminds him of his younger days, going to the pub and chatting over a few pints, although you two and guests are a little more informed than we were. I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I don't.
He says he's got a 110, 2.2 utility and a 2000 TD590, and the latter's a three-month project, which is approaching 3 years. I think we've all been there, haven't we?
Yes.
He says he's put a galvanised chassis and bulkhead on, but he's having a bit of trouble lining everything up, so everything's taking a little bit longer. See you at Malvern. Phil, you're a gentleman. Thank you ever so much.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good way.
What advice is that?
Absolutely, yeah. We've been busy boys, haven't we?
Yeah, we have indeed. This week, and last week. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. We are now off-road course builders.
Officially.
Officially. So if you need an off-road course building, you know who to call.
Yeah.
You don't sound as sure as I am,
Steve. No, very sure. We had 2 days at Newbury, didn't we? The yes. Home of LRM Fest next year.
Indeed, yeah. So the backstory is that there once upon a time, many, many years ago, Newbury had an off-road course, but it had gone up by the wayside, completely disused for many, many years.
Yeah, nature took it back.
Yeah, so Mick, one of the lovely blokes from the showground, and a couple of his mates,
Peter on the digger.
Indeed, and John, the tree surgeon.
He was a handy guy with a chainsaw.
Very, very handy. Mm. They set about clearing all the flora and fauna. They got rid of all the overgrown brambles and bushes and everything that had basically eaten up the off-road course. And we turned up and basically said, right, what are we going to do for Fest? We need to build this into a cool, challenging, but non-damaging off-road course. And I think we achieved it.
We did. And I noticed that obviously there was three of us. There was Neil Watson, editor of Land Rover Life, you and me. So Neil turned up in his 2A.
Series 2A, yeah, 200 TDI.
You were in your V8 Series 3 109.
I was.
And that was quite handy, actually, because that worked out where the tighter turns were.
Yeah.
And what we didn't particularly want is people having to reverse up and do three-point turns to get around sharp corners.
It was important to have something with a turning circle as rubbish as my 109 so that we could be sure that, yeah, the course was... Because it's a compact course, but it's non-stop. So from start to finish, there's always something going on. There's no filler.
Yes, yeah, so they're like big, long drive in. Because I noticed it was like really interesting, wasn't it? It was properly interesting. Kept me interested.
Absolutely.
2 days driving around.
And we drove it a lot. We drove it over and over again to make sure it was going to stay good and that the corners were right. And if there was any more like overgrown trees and stuff to cut back. And it is. It keeps your brain engaged from start to finish, doesn't it?
Definitely. And the other thing to consider, you and Neil both had mud terrain tyres.
Yes.
Whereas I had all terrains.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that the course... You could go around with all terrains.
Yeah, of course.
And there are testing areas, definitely, still.
Yeah, there are, definitely.
Because it did rain on us. And it caused a complete different...
Well, it will be very different ground conditions, hopefully, in July, when LRM Fest is. But don't for one moment think that we've gone easy on you with this course. It will make you think, and it is... There's some elements to it that need a bit of momentum. There's some elements that you need to really think carefully about your line. I think it will claim some victims.
Yeah, definitely. And but the fortunate thing is we had to run around the course with no marshals whatsoever. And we were sort of like testing our Land Rovers to the limits and then scaling it back a little bit.
Yes.
So much so, we both sustained a little bit of damage.
Yeah, there was a couple of incidents.
I broke a rear shock.
Yeah, and subsequently took out your fuel filter housing.
Yes, but luckily it was at the end of the 2 days. So my Land Rover is actually not back yet.
It's still at Newbury.
Yeah, so luckily for me, Eddie from Terra Firma, so thanks to Eddie, he's been a guest on the podcast before.
Indeed.
Was on site helping us on the second day, wasn't he? So he saw what happened and immediately set to and got the Land Rover transported to his mate Dan's workshop and had it fixed.
Yeah, because it was, Land Rover are partly to blame here, because why would you put the fuel filter in the wheel arch of an off-road vehicle?
Yeah, it didn't give you much, there didn't need to be much evidence of that to you to go, oh, you still have a TDI.
TDI, the fuel filter was in a sensible location under the bonnet.
It was a bit rubbish, so it didn't take much to take that diesel line out.
No, so what it was, anyone who knows TD5s, the fuel filter head, if you like, it's got four ports on it, which come from the tank, go to the engine, back from the engine, and... You know, there's a bit to them compared to a decent engine like a TDI. They're like a brass, copper-coloured ports with the quick-release fitting basically snapped off, didn't it? And whenever your ignition was on, it was just pumping diesel onto the ground.
Well, I was driving it back to the workshop from the off-road course so we could at least get the... Because, I mean, the shocks were going to be replaced there and then.
Yeah, they were.
Because Eddie's... All makes is only base 20 minutes down the road.
Yeah, he was set up to get a pair on route to us, wasn't he?
Yeah, they were already pretty much on route. It's only because the shock absorber, the broken bit that was still attached to the axle, hit.
That's it.
It bounced into it. Had I known that, I didn't think that could ever happen, but it did. And I heard the diesel pump, that whizzy high-pitched squeal when you're bleeding them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I quickly knocked it off because obviously diesel would go flying everywhere. Yeah, but it's fixed. And but then, we've created an off-road course that really should be non-damaging now because we've addressed the problems ourselves. We were the test mules, weren't we?
What's important to stress is we didn't damage our vehicles because we were using them on the course. We damaged them because of bad luck. And in my case, I don't know how I would describe...
A freak accident.
I don't think it was a freak accident. It was my own stupidity.
Yeah, okay. You need to explain.
So essentially, there's a big hill. You'll see said hill when you come to LRN Fest at Newbury because it's at the viewing area. So another thing that's fantastic about this off-road course, not to blow our own trumpets, is it's literally on the showground. It's next to...
Yes.
You will have Luke Combs UK playing 20 feet away from the off-road course. So you'll be able to see exactly what's happening all day.
The vantage point from that top of that hill is great.
Exactly.
See the whole showground.
So we've purposefully, we had an excavator there as well, 360, to do some modifications and dig stuff out. And what we've done is dig a big pit in the viewing area. Behind the pit, the bomb hole, if you will. Which is to be named. So if you've got a good idea for a name for the big bomb hole that we've dug.
We've all been stuck in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've crashed on.
No, I crashed on the hill.
Oh.
It's a separate bit. Anyway, behind the big hole that we've dug is quite a sizable dirt mound.
Sorry, I meant that was the other bomb hole.
With a track that goes over it.
Mm.
And either side of the mound are dips. So you drive down into the dip, then up the mound, and then down into another dip, and then out. So it's kind of like a tabletop type thing, but you've got a bit of a valley, if you like, either side where you drive up. And all day, because of the rain, it had been a bit of a challenge to get up this hill, hadn't it?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, a challenge for you and Neil. The V8 power just carried me straight up.
Yeah, the V8 did power up.
I was with the videographer. He hadn't actually been off-road before, so I thought I'd take him for a lap of the course. Neil was in front of me, and he made it up the hill, and he dropped down the other side. But because we'd had so much rain, the sort of gully, the opposite side of the hill, had become very slippery. And unbeknownst to me, Neil hadn't made it out of the gully as I powered up the hill. And when you're at the top of the hill, you can't see anything. All you can see is sky.
Yes.
So I'd started to descend the hill in... first gear, low range. But as my nose came down, I could see that Neil was still at the bottom. And I thought to myself, heavens, this isn't ideal. So because he was stuck, he couldn't move. And what happened was, I basically slid down the hill into the back of him.
You did?
I did. It wasn't a good time. But luckily, minimal damage. My front bumper hit his NATO hitch, which buckled my bumper.
Saved him, but dented your bumper. Which is fine, because you'd rather that.
Oh, definitely.
Bumper's like 35, 40 quid.
I would much rather... That bumper came from Newbury, funnily enough. It came from a spares day at Newbury.
Right.
I would much rather replace a bumper than... I was worried it was going to smash the solenoid off the top of the winch and do the wings and stuff. It's creased the passenger side wing. But it's all easily fixable.
Yeah.
But you won't have that problem.
No, there'll be marshals everywhere.
Because the course, yeah, will be fully marshalled, so you won't have to worry about, you know, things happening like that. We'll be telling you when it's safe to go and when it's safe to, you know, when it's not safe to go, so you won't have any incidents like that. But I did feel a bit silly, and I've got to buy a new bumper, and I've got to straighten the wing. But in the grand scheme of things, at least my Land Rover made it home.
With me in it.
Well,
I've never been so cramped in a Land Rover in all my life.
Anyone who's owned a truck cab, Series or Defender, will know they're not the most spacious of things, especially when you've got 2 6-foot blokes with all their stuff, because it was raining. We couldn't put it in the back.
Yeah, the load bay was deemed useless, and it was snug. All right, though. I mean, I did say to you, didn't I, on the way back, it's made me want a Series 3.
Yeah, but that did pass. About halfway into the journey, you said, yeah, I know, I'm over this now. I want my
I did, yeah. see how time like has made that journey feel like it was better than it was. It was a Friday night, bumper-to-bumper traffic, wasn't it?
My left leg looks like Popeye's bicep now.
Yeah, yeah. I was cramped up, no leg room.
Had to keep demisting it, didn't we?
Yeah.
The rain was coming down.
All good fun.
Yeah, but we got home, didn't we?
But that's what Land Rover's about. It's not, you know, it's not like... A to B transport. It's
an adventure.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll be running you back. Well, it'll be the day after this podcast goes live. We'll go and pick your Defender up from Allmakes, where it currently resides.
Yeah, you get to pick me up. I've got no cars.
Yeah, I get to pick you up. Great.
Yeah.
However, yeah. The upshot to that is we won't be doing it in the Series 3 because I've got the Discovery 5, which Land Rover...
XXXV,
which is black with black wheels and a black interior. It's all of the black. So we'll be trundling off to Allmakes in that on Thursday.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Nice things, eh, Discovery 5s. They really, really are.
I have to say, I got into it yesterday and I drove it around a bit. It only got dropped off at my house yesterday. I thought, it's nice, but it doesn't really... Do you know what I mean? They don't really do a lot for me. But this morning, I got in the car and it was still dark. It was lashing with rain and I was sat up high, loads of glass all around me. The headlights are fantastic. You're so isolated from the weather and the, you know, huge puddles splashing up underneath and... You can set the radio. You got the climate control just so. The steering's beautifully weighted. And I thought, do you know what? I feel completely differently about this car this morning to what I did yesterday.
Mm. You'd have wanted to have been in it Friday night on the way home.
Oh, 100%. I feel like I'm really sort of... Yeah, I think I'll gel with it a lot more than I thought I would, which is nice. And yes, it isn't the spec I would choose. I don't really like black cars in general, but I certainly don't like them with black wheels and the black interior.
It's a very dark car, isn't it? Like the interior is very black and I preferred the one Neil and I had for a week the other day, which was that was a 30 XXXV.
Oh, was it as well? But
yeah, it was. It was just the grey and I think that had anthracite wheels.
Yeah.
Picture on my phone something.
Yeah, I just think, earlier on when we went out, I opened up the sunroof blinds just to let some light in because it's really dingy inside.
Yeah, but then today is a bad day. It's lashing with rain.
Yeah, the weather is horrible. But overall, it's quite a thing. It's very good. I've got it for a month. I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, £85,000 though.
Yeah. But what, you know, Nothing is cheap now. Cars are just insane.
They are crazy.
Like, isn't a base model Golf about 30 grand now? It's mad. It looks. The money they start at, but, you know, we're not here to moan about the prices of cars like we normally do.
No, definitely.
But going back to Newbury, yeah, it was two fantastic days. We had some of the guys from our exhibitions team as well who were getting content, which you'll see.
Oh, this is all going to be out on video.
Exactly, yeah. YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, so keep an eye on that. We're dropping teasers over.
I think that will be out in January because it's in the edit at the moment. So come late December, early January, those videos will be out
on
various social media platforms and YouTube.
You absolutely, yeah.
So you'll see us drive the course from in our perspective.
Yes. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you'll see in car. We've even named some of the obstacles, haven't we? We've got the switchback, the sand pit.
I thought it was called the Steve switchback.
Might have been. I can't remember.
No, it was just...
The lion's back.
Yeah.
It's all good.
We need some quirky names.
So, yeah, we've got Stevie switchback. We've got...
Yeah. It's not actually going to be called Stevie switchback, is it?
I don't know. Well, iron out the finer details closer to the time. We've also got dedicated area. If you've got a radio control Land Rover and you want to bring it along, dedicated RC off-road course.
Yeah, that's yet to be built.
Yes.
But we'll do some filming of that.
We're going to build that in a new year. But yes, we will. Mm. We'll video that as well. Yes, all exciting.
I literally cannot wait for that show.
The Elephant's Footsteps as well. Yes. There was the original...
I didn't get to drive them.
No, you didn't. Your car was broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original Elephant's Footsteps were deep in the woods. So we thought, oh, we've got a digger, we'll just make our own. So we did.
That's bang on. It was. Do you know what? I think that's the first time I've ever had a kind of opportunity to... We didn't start from the ground up, but we started pretty much, didn't we, to say, right, here's an off-road course, let's have a go.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Definitely. I mean, the thing about it was, like we said before, it had been previously used years and years and years ago, and then someone had added a bit of quad bike track, but we were really sort of carving our own trails and making our own routes. Like, there was lots of separate routes, and we've linked them together into a really cool, quite challenging off-road course.
Almost like an RTV trial.
It is a bit like driving a trial. Yeah, you have
to really concentrate. You can't just drive from A to B. You have to think, oh, it's no direct route, is it?
No, obviously it will be marked out for the event, but yeah, you will still have to engage your brain and your four-wheel drive. So,
and your diff lock.
And your diff lock, depending on what you're driving. But yeah, no, all good fun. Very, very exciting stuff. I'm happy to be a part of it. So, I suppose really, because we haven't probably had one for quite a while, shall we go into... Can I interest you in a feature of the week?
You can.
Okay, this is a bit of a polarising feature, this one. You'll like it. This is in the classic section of the January issue, which is on sale now. And it is about patina versus perfect paint. Which side of the camp do you fall in? Well, your opinion might be changed after reading this feature, which is about two rather lovely 80-inch Series 1s. One of them is still wearing its work clothes, if you like. It's Battle Scars with Pride. The other one has been completely restored to shiny and new condition. It's a really interesting thing. And these are very, very close off the production line, these two Series 1s. So it's a great juxtaposition.
Which camp are you in?
I think patina.
Yeah, me too.
I can completely appreciate a real nice, shiny restoration. I really can. And all power to anyone who puts the time, effort.
Yeah, a lot of effort.
Work into doing that. But, they're only original once, and I quite like a bit of patina, a few battle scars here and there. And that...
Fine line, as we've said before, between patina and worn out.
Yes, patina and scruffy. Two different things, in my opinion. But... would 100% recommend anyone who's, maybe you've got a Land Rover that's completely original and wearing worn out paint and, a little bit of flakiness here and there, check it out. And likewise, if you're firmly in the camp of shiny paint, then sort of thing.
It's almost, if money was no object, you'd have one of each.
Just like exactly.
That, just like that feature.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, a real Gaydon and Land Rover show is a good one for that. There's always a good mixture of stuff of...
Yeah, I've been to that. I have been to that in the past.
I'm going to go next year, I think. But lots of shows.
We'll do a run through of the shows sometime nearer to Christmas Day.
Plan your Land Rover year.
Yeah, we did that last year. It went down quite well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And we decided that, because a year does run away with itself and you have to get things in the diary and stick to it.
Can't believe how quickly it's gone.
Oh, this year's super. I couldn't believe, like, you've been here 3 years now at our home towers.
Oh, no.
I thought it was two.
Well.
I've lost a year of my life somewhere.
It feels like two. We've
it feels like 10. Yeah.
No, it's been busy, haven't we? We have been busy. But product of the week?
We haven't had one of those for, it seems like, ages.
Well, I'm doing one now.
Oh, you... Okay.
Yeah.
Chosen.
I have.
You've chosen well.
Chosen well. I have. LOF clutches, also purveyors of fine braking components, have launched uprated Discovery 2 brakes.
Right. Okay.
So everyone goes around remapping Discovery 2s and making them really fast because there's loads of stuff you can do to TD5s now to make
them you can
fly down the road. But what you should do is make sure you can stop all that extra power. And with this new kit, which features 330mm drilled and grooved vented discs, 4-pot calipers, which are anodized in a lovely green, and organic composite fast road pads, along with all the mounts and fittings that you need to fit them, you can make your Discovery stop on a dime. And you can also, so this is available for 16-inch wheels, but if you want to go even bigger, you can fit a 345mm disc and 6-pot calipers. But you can only use that with 18s.
I was just going to ask you about the wheel sizes, but you answered it already.
There you go, ahead of the game. So yeah, they're £1,860 for the entire kit from lofclutches.com.
Quite a significant spend, but as we know, Discovery 2s are coming on, aren't they? So good ones are worth investing in. So,
and it's that thing again, isn't it? As if when you find a vehicle that you get on with and you gel with so well that you don't mind spending the money on it, it falls into that camp, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
If nothing else will do, improve what you've already got.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah,
there's some
very, very cool. But yeah, it's been exciting. So apart from what else has been going on? The Series 3, I need to get stripped down, like I say, get that wing off and hammer that back into shape over Christmas and replace the bumper at some point. The 110 I can now continue on with because I've got that torque wrench.
Surely that'll be running by the end of the Christmas break.
Easily. It's got like an afternoon's work to get the engine back in and just plumb the intercooler up and off she goes, hopefully.
Nice.
So that's pretty exciting.
And all of the power.
All of the 111 horsepower. Yeah, pretty much doubling its BHP.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I have done a video on rebuilding the turbo, which I need to edit, because that was quite a fun little thing to do. The core, so like the rotating assembly of the turbo is completely worn out, and it had a lot of in and out play.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm hoping is the reason why there was so much oil in the intercooler and the pipe work, because that turbo bearing is just a little bit too worn and it's blowing oil past. So yeah, oiled one up and stripped it all down and rebuilt it. I've done a couple or three of them now. They're not too bad to do.
So that's going to go on to LRM YouTube?
It'll be on socials because I didn't shoot it.
Oh, okay. I did it that way, not that way.
Indeed.
Portrait.
But that will hopefully be... And it goes into a little bit about how a turbocharger works as well, which some people may not be aware of. And yeah. But that's all bolted on now with new gaskets. Just got the gaskets turned up for the front cover and the crankshaft seal at the front. Got the belt already from Britpart and water pump. So yeah, things are progressing nicely.
You might want to give that Land Rover up once you get going with it. That'll be a keeper.
This is the real decision. But I think I'm definitely erring on the side of keeping it now because I like to do things as well as I can. So like the heater box and everything's all sealed up nicely. I bought a proper gasket to seal that to the bulkhead, like genuine.
Oh yeah, I remember. I was there when you did it. I filmed you doing it.
You did.
Mm. You just didn't paint it.
No, I didn't paint it. People are still asking on YouTube.
How are they?
Why I didn't paint the chassis for the Series 3. It's like a weird thing.
Yeah. No, see, I've gone bare galvanised on my...
Well, prepare yourself for questions.
The answer is simple, really.
Go on.
It's my Land Rover and I can do what I want. That's a very... That's not a very nice way of saying it, but each to their own.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, if you want to paint the chassis, go and paint it. If you don't.
What's funny is you get people who say, I've had my Land Rover on a galvanised chassis 20 years and it's still not showing any signs of corrosion.
How many Eiffel Williams trailers are going around, or Brian James trailers that are galvanised, right? Bare galvanised for decades. They're not painted.
No, I
agree. And they're exposed to all the elements.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Cars on and off, or logs, or whatever you use your rifle and trailers in. It's a sacrificial coating.
Yeah.
Which is stronger than paint.
I do see
the appeal to painting a galvanised chassis.
It makes it look more OEM. It makes it look more original. It does obviously offer another layer of protection. Do you 100% need to do it like people make out on the internet? No, not if you don't want to.
I don't think you need to do it for corrosion properties. I think you need to do it for aesthetics if that's more appealing to you.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
yeah, I quite agree, Steve. Another email, actually, from James Reynolds. He says, hi, and he's also sent me a link to where I could buy one of those needle torque wrenches. But again, thankfully, someone is sending me one, so thank you ever so much. He says, still enjoying the podcast. A couple of points I'd appreciate your opinion on. So, the first one is actually related to galvanised chassis. He says, I often hear people talking of a galvanised chassis. When you hear people talking about them, they're either excitedly fitting one after years of patching and welding and dread before every MOT, or they've recently fitted one and are enjoying the trouble-free motoring you briefly enjoy post-rebuild, before the 30-year-old bushes turn to mush and you're back under it. I'm now 8 years into my Richard chassis and I thought it's worth sharing the feedback. I thought it's worth sharing feedback that because hindsight is 2020. He says, there seems to be a fit-and-forget culture around galvanised chassis that I'd advise against 8 years on. Having nothing to additionally protect or preserve my chassis, I'm regretting not doing more to keep it in top condition. My tubular outriggers, for instance, are looking pretty rusty. It's a simple and easy thing to paint the chassis when you're installing it, and it adds that extra layer of protection. If I could have my time again, I would definitely have painted mine and probably waxed it inside as well. There you go. So he says, nothing lasts forever, of course, and the galvanised is sacrificial, but it's worth protecting your investment from day one if you can. So there you go. First-hand experience, 8 years in, he's starting to see a little bit of corrosion come through on his chassis, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's about, again, like, probably it depends where you live in the country. If you live on the coast.
Absolutely.
You are getting exposed, so that galvanising will be... Because they go really dull, don't they? And kind of...
They do dull off.
They have a rougher sort of finish when they get sort of...
A bit of
painted.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I remember when we rebuilt the LRO 90 years ago, that had been on its Richard chassis for donkey's years, never with any paint on top. And that had been used hard off-road and parked up muddy. And I can't remember any corrosion coming through. In fact, we epoxied it and wrapped it over the top for when we rebuilt it into the red one. And yeah, the chassis didn't need any attention at all. I think it really is a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I know what I plan on doing or not doing with my 90s to know that a bare galvanised chassis is fine.
Yeah.
But if I had to re-chassis my TD590, immediately I would do that in black.
Okay.
I would know, I wouldn't even question it. Funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's in your head what suits one and doesn't suit the other. So I would definitely do that OEM style-y and it'd be black.
Mm.
Okay. It doesn't need a chassis, by the way. I'm just saying if ever I needed to.
Personalised, personal preference, isn't it?
Yeah, so, yeah.
It leads him on to his second question, which is how many people, this is a great question, actually, and it's something that I often wonder, how many people park up their old Land Rovers for winter? So he says, in the same spirit as above, I spent many hours saving my 1959 Series 2, but now I'm reluctant to let it get blathered in salt and mud. This seems against the can-do, go-anywhere spirit of the Land Rover, but at the same time, I've seen what that can do to my Defender. Perhaps I'm too precious, and your comment, who am I saving it for, really made me question myself. That's when we were talking to Joe Hughes, I believe. As it is, she's parked up for winter, and I now have it if the Defender catastrophically lets me down, but I suspect I'm not missing much. Lucas wipers, twin candle headlights, and Smith's welly melter are probably not going to put up much of a fight against the dark and wet we are currently enjoying. I'm really looking forward to next year when the weather's a bit nicer. Struggling to find time to look at my Disco 1, which, like your 200 TDI, has a leaky front crank seal. So, yeah, the main sort of question is, what do you think regarding parking up your Land Rover over winter? Do you use it year-round, or is it a fair-weather-only special?
Really interesting, right? So I think, again, it's personal preference. No one's right, no one's wrong.
I think... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never owned anything that I, even like, I've had a TVR years ago, and I used it all year round, and people were like, you know, you can't use that in the winter. Well, no, you can.
Mm.
You just got to, you know, keep on top of it and keep things clean. I know Alistair Cusick, our photographer, his Series 1 will be parked up right now.
Yeah.
You know, and yet that spent years in a field, didn't it? And was used all year round.
It is personal preference. I would say I think the parking it up and certainly garaging and like using those expensive bubbles that people park in and like really expensive car covers and things like that on Land Rovers, old Land Rovers, has certainly come about in recent years. I don't think, certainly, I can remember a time where you'd even see like classic Range Rovers being used as daily drivers throughout the winter. And things like that. And the thing to keep in mind is nothing is unfixable. If using your Land Rover all year round through winter accelerates the speed of the corrosion, if you've got the original chassis or even a galvanised chassis, it's annoying. But when you look at the length, the number of years that vehicle's existed and the length of time it takes to replace an outrigger, weld up a dumb iron, change a body cross member, weld a sill, it's nothing. And if you get the enjoyment out of driving
enjoyment all year, you know, people like wait for better weather. I mean, I know in the UK they salt the roads quite heavily, quite a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But there are a number of days throughout the winter, autumn, winter, where there is no salt on the roads.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not there permanently, is it? Good rain. But now the roads are pretty much clean because they've been washed with rain.
Yeah.
If we were in for some sunnier days or some drier days, get out there and enjoy your Land Rover if you want to. But if it's parked up,
again,
we talked about the detrimental effects of parking a car up over winter day.
I know.
You're on about the corrosion of things like chassis, but what about seals drying up and just jet and electricals just getting a bit furred up? And you've got to keep things in a really lovely environment to make that not be a problem.
I would say, personally, I have used and will use my Land Rovers all year round. And I just give them the attention that they need when they need it. If you've got a lovely, fresh restoration, I can definitely see why you might have trepidation about using it in wet conditions or when it's salty. Completely understand if you've piled 5 years of your life into completely nut and bolt restoring something to perfection, you might only want to use that in summer. But for me, general, like I'll get excited when I see a late 80s or, you know, any older Land Rover being used year-round. I love it. There's a guy who comes to our auto jumbles. I forget his name. He's got a Series 1 pickup with a 200 in it. He was at the dyno day that we did a couple of years ago, or we went to Shropshire Automotive a few years ago. He daily drives this pickup. It's got a canvas on the back. It's always full of, like, day-to-day detritus, and it's always dirty. And I love to see it. It's a cool, cool thing.
Yeah.
And to me, seeing a vehicle like that used all winter it gets me more excited than seeing a polished one in the summer at a show.
Me too. I'm definitely in the camp of use it all year round.
Mm.
Yeah, because hose off the salt.
Unless,
keep on top of your chassis, make sure it's got a coat of paint on it.
Yeah.
I don't think you could. All right, here's the thing. So we were coming back in your Series 3 on Friday night, on the A34 around Oxford.
We got spotted, by the way, as well.
We did, yeah.
I told you about that.
Yeah, you did, yeah. But that's not its ideal environment.
No.
He's misted up. The windscreen wipers, they're okay.
Adequate.
Yeah, adequate.
My leg was hurting.
Yeah, my ass was hurting. Like, I was cramped. But that's kind of part of the charm.
Yeah.
And that's not its perfect environment. But it still feels like an adventure.
Exactly.
You're doing what other people are not doing. We wouldn't stand out from the crowd, I say.
Exactly that.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the camp of use it all year round.
We were, discomfort aside and, you know, feeling tired and like the adding an hour to the journey and like the traffic and everything like that. It was a pain, but we wouldn't already be looking back fondly on that journey if we were in
anything
else, like a normal car.
And
we wouldn't talk about getting home from Newbury.
No, but it turned itself into an adventure.
Yeah. I liked it.
Just, yeah, definitely.
Just use them, man.
They're just,
life is too short.
It is, yeah.
And what's the point of saving the car for the next, or the Land Rover, whatever, for the next generation?
Especially as something as infinitely rebuildable as a Land Rover.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, it's not, regardless of what you've got, look at Bob Ives with the Camel Trophy 110 that they used on the event.
Yeah.
They still use it on their farm just as a hack, like a drive-about vehicle. He was letting people drive it at CT45 over the bridge that they built. He's not precious about it. No. And that's what makes it so cool.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm firmly in camp, use it all year round as well.
I think people should email editorial at lrm.co.uk with their opinions.
Please do.
I'd be keen.
I would love to know your opinion, and also send a photo, because we obviously run your pictures in the magazine where you can show us what you've been up to. And I get some cracking your pictures. Like, some fella was moving house. He had a Series 1 and he was taking all these really lovely plants. He was obviously into his gardening, needed to transport them from one house to another. And he'd filled the back of his Series 1 pickup with these gorgeous like flowers and plants and things like that, and just driving it down the road. I thought, yes, good effort.
Yeah, definitely.
Roger Craythorne uses his 80-inch for tip runs. He sent me a picture before. I was just like, absolute legend. Get out there and get him used. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, definitely.
We've put that to bed.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, and send pictures. Editorial at lrn.co.uk. Thanks very much. What have you been up to then? What's new in your world? Jag still isn't sold.
No. It's in the latest Jaguar Enthusiast magazine.
Yes. A very, very fine article by our friend Wayne.
Maybe worth mentioning, actually. So we've collaborated with Jaguar Enthusiast magazine on a subscription offer.
Yes.
So if you are in the JLR camp and you do have a Jaguar and you're not part of the club.
Sorry, a Jag.
Can I recommend the Jaguar Enthusiast Club? The magazine, the club magazine, isn't like your black and white pamphlet that you would get on a quarterly basis. This is a coffee table publication you get on a monthly basis.
It is lovely. And Steve's in it.
And I'm in this particular one. And it was lovely. I had a day out with the editor, Wayne, who's our compere LRM Live.
Indeed. You'll
and
know
Fest.
Wayne Scott from LRM Live, which, of course, is rolling around quickly next May, and Fest. He's booked in for both, and we like Wayne. We get on with Wayne, don't we? He's a good old boy.
Yeah.
Yes, really nice. I enjoyed that feature.
Yeah, well, we talk about not just the history of Jaguar, my car ownership, the fact I'm selling the Jag, it's in there. If anyone wants to check it out, it's at James Agger Autosport. So it's currently for sale in his showroom.
Yeah.
So, it looks beautiful. I don't want to keep looking at the feature because...
It makes you want to keep it.
It does. it's absolutely cracking car, but I just don't use it enough. I get just as much enjoyment from driving my TD590 as that. So one's obviously more expensive than the other to keep.
Mm,
so
absolutely,
yeah. But it's in there, and the collaboration between the two is that we're doing a subscription offer.
Yes,
in there, and they are doing a club membership offer with us.
So maybe you've got a Land Rover and a Jag. You could
worth being in both camps.
Absolutely. I dare say, actually, at the moment, the fuel consumption of your 90 and the Jag are probably quite similar, except your 90 sprays it all over the ground, and the Jag burns it.
Yeah. The Jag is 380 horsepower and the Land Rover's probably 160-ish with the remap. And they both do around 28 miles to the gallon.
It's not bad, is it?
The Jag does less on a round town, but on a run, 28. Bang on. Perfect. Love it.
Well, quite. It's a nice thing, but it's the right thing to do. Free up more space for Land Rovers.
Yeah. So what else have we been doing? Not a lot, really. Just... Christmas is round the corner.
Christmas is round the corner. Have you got all your Christmas stuff sorted?
No, not really. Been too busy.
If you're stuck for ideas, there's some cracking gifts in the issue which we've just sent to press, which you'll very much enjoy. And also, of course, in the issue that's on sale, the January issue, it's got a whole range of products in it for all price points. So if you're stuck for an idea, rush out, grab that, and let your... imagination run wild. And there is still time, I believe, if you want to get one of the very few remaining model sets for a subscription gift.
They've been going very well, actually.
Yeah, there's only a few left. I'm definitely not taking mine back into the office because our marketing lady will steal it and try and send it to someone. Have you still got yours?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, good. Make sure you don't let that go.
Mine's the test mule.
Still numbered, though.
It's still numbered. No, I've got number 151, I think.
Yeah, it's still numbered, though. Still one of the 250.
It is, but it's the one that we use in all the photographs and things. So it's my... Yeah, I come up with the idea, my concept, so I want a model to say thank you, to myself.
Well, why not? Yeah, no, it's good fun. It's good fun.
Finding the right parts for your Land Rover or Range Rover shouldn't be an off-road challenge. At bmh4x4.com, we've built a smarter way to get you back on track. Our new website is now live. The simple, fast and reliable way to find the parts and accessories you need. Supplying quality parts for Defender 1983 to 2016, Discovery 1, 2, 3 and 4, Range Rover Sport 2005 to 2013, with Range Rover P30A and L322 coming soon. All parts are backed by expert knowledge, quick delivery and a 2-year quality guarantee. Visit bmh4x4.com. Built by enthusiasts for enthusiasts.
L322. We've gone almost an entire podcast without mentioning L322s, but it's an important mention.
Hot topic.
Hot off the press. British Motor Heritage have launched their L322 range. If you've got an L322 and you need parts, you probably do. Head to...
What are you trying to say?
What's the website?
bmh4x4.com.
Yeah, it's a really new, intuitive way of looking up parts for any Land Rover. But as we just said, the L322 page has just gone live and it's so easy to use.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And it's really simple. And I'm just checking sure it's .com.
Oh, Steve, you should be on this. Come on now.
I did write it down.
Insert on hold
this
music.
This is where you start editing the podcast appropriately.
Yeah.
It's because of, it is. It's bmh4x4.com.
There you go. So if
thousands of Land Rover and Range Rover parts.
I was going to say, not just L322, no. They got tons of other stuff on there. So head over there, have a little look and see what tickles your fancy. Because you'll probably, want things like the lower arms at the front that always wear out and they eat brakes. So you'll probably want brakes and rear subframe bushes. They are always getting a bit tired.
Do you know what? If they're going to inevitably wear out, buy them in advance.
Have them
on the shelf. I love having new parts on the shelf. But you don't necessarily need them.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you can say, ha-ha, I've got them.
One thing I really like doing is having, I know they're a bit more expensive, but the ERR 3340 oil filters, the big oil filters that TDIs and V8s take.
Okay.
Because I'm obviously... I service the Series 3 once a year and now I'll service the TDI. And I did an oil change on the 110 when I got it. Spinning on a genuine ERR 3340 oil filter, there's something very satisfying about that. And it's even more satisfying if you've got a couple sat there waiting to go on. I don't know what it is. It feels like you're doing your very best for that Land Rover.
So you're preempting it. If you have the parts, you won't need to fit them.
Service parts you'll always use.
But if you have all the other parts,
I see what you mean.
That your Land Rover won't let you down.
Well, it daren't because it knows that you've spent the money already. I think Land Rover's sometimes quite fickle and they'll wait for the most inopportune moment to
like in the middle of an off-road course.
Yes, exactly. Middle of an off-road course. Exactly, Steve. Yeah. Mm. So that'd be good. Quite enjoying the run up to or down to Newbury. It is down to Newbury. Across
and down. It's a great place. Easy to get to.
It is, yeah. Very, very central as well. An ideal place, you might say, to hold a show.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're doing. I think I need to get on and edit this. This is a rare occasion where the podcast that we're recording goes live the very next day.
In like less than, in about 14 hours.
So, we need to crack on. I need to edit this ASAP.
There is a bit you need to edit out when I got the .com bit mixed up.
I'm not editing anything out. Yeah. You can own that, Steve.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, as always, follow us on Instagram, Land Rover Monthly, Steve Miller Automotive, Land Rover Martin, Facebook, YouTube, listen to the podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast. We probably don't promote it as much as we should on Facebook and stuff. But if you've got a friend who's into Land Rovers, even, you know, mildly into Land Rovers, let them know that we do this every single week because they'll probably enjoy it.
I know we have listeners that aren't even into Land Rovers.
It's good, isn't it?
Mm, it's great.
Talking of firsts, people who are maybe not that into Land Rovers yet, the current issue, the January issue of Land Rover Monthly, goes on sale with Land Rover Life, which has got a buy your first Land Rover buying guide in it. And it is, if you don't mind me saying so, fantastic.
Yes, that is a very nice issue.
And if you already own a Land Rover, which you may well do if you're listening to this podcast, it's a great excuse to go out and buy another one because one's never enough.
As I found out.
Three's the optimum number, but one is never enough.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. And on that note, we must wrap this up because I've got to get editing.
Yep. Good. Over and out.
Well, thanks again for listening and we'll see you next week.
Bye for now.